One. Welcome back to this edition of Legal Line. This is Bob Pittman, and we're hoping to demystify the law, translate the legalese, and point you in the right direction with regard to your legal problems, legal issues. We're broadcasting, we call them Bobcasts, of course, but we're broadcasting down at the Puyallup Activity Center in Puyallup, Washington. If you're in another state, remember this is a Washington attorney talking, and you need to check with an attorney in your particular state. You can find good resources at the American Bar Association website. There's actually a good directory there to get you to an attorney in your local area as well. I will mention that the Tacoma Pierce County Bar Association has a terrific lawyer referral service, and most of the counties do, most of the states do. You can reach them at 253-383-3432 for the lawyer referral service, Pierce County Bar Association. Hey, we're going to talk now with Hal Prukop. Hal, thanks for coming and hanging out with us. Hal's an attorney. We're not going to hold it against you, though. But
no, now we got two lawyers here speaking, so don't know who to believe. We might get into some confrontational arguments. But I'm Hal Prukop. I'm a solo practitioner in Issaquah, and practice. My focus is on elder law, estate planning, and probate.
Yeah, we appreciate your taking time to come and join us for a few minutes. And one thing I want to ask you about, and we'll talk about some other stuff too, but everybody, I think, believes that they should have a durable power of attorney. At least hopefully they think they should have one. But what are we talking about? That's one of the most, in my book, one of the most essential documents for anybody to have is a durable power of attorney, durable general power of attorney, durable health care power of attorney. Why is that? What is it that's going on that makes that a compelling need or for a power of attorney?
Right, Bob. First of all, thank you very much for having me on.
Sure.
We've known each other for six, seven, eight years now.
Yeah.
And I really do appreciate being part of your Bobcast. But getting to durable powers of attorney, typically there's two or three different schools of thought. Like Bob just mentioned, there's the general durable power of attorney, which is just one legal document, and that includes both financial and property decisions as well as healthcare slash medical decisions. And what I advise my clients to do is, you can have one person as your quote-unquote attorney-in-fact or AIF, also called in the out there in the community just the POA. You know, we always hear someone say, I got power of attorney, or I am the power of attorney. Same thing. But the importance of it is to, before the principal or the person who's writing the document, the author of the document, if you will, before he or she gets sick or otherwise can't make decisions of his or her own, that they sit down with legal counsel like Bob or myself and say, okay, if something happens to me where I can't make those healthcare decisions on my own, or I can't make those property or financial decisions on my own, who can I trust to make those decisions for me? Now, in my practice, very briefly, I typically like to look at both the durable power of attorney for healthcare for one issue and the durable power of attorney for financial and property decisions as a separate document. So I have two separate documents. Why do I do that? Because, as you may have mentioned, who do you trust?
Right.
And sometimes it might be a significant other, your spouse, domestic partner, whatever, for the healthcare decisions.
Right. And
but maybe somebody
else
for the property decisions.
Sure. Yeah, Uncle Arnold or Aunt Jane on the healthcare issues maybe, someone else for financial. It does, when you think about the people in your family, your friends and colleagues, we'll talk in a minute with Lisa about where people don't have anybody, by the way, in their system they can trust. What can they do? We'll hold that for a moment. But someone you know can make good health care decisions for you based on what it is you want. They've listened to you, you've made some notes, and made sure to express your desires to them. But it might be someone totally different for finances. That's
right.
A good point.
Right, and there are five basic components here in Washington State to be the creator or the principal, as they say, of a power of attorney. Number one, you have to be at least 18 years old. Number two, you have to intend to give the power to the person designated in the document. Okay. Number three, you must be mentally competent, which means you must be able to understand the document and the power they are conferring. If you remember from law school, Bob, we used to say you have to understand the extent of your property and the natural objects of your bounty. you know, which is like, hey, do you know who your family is? You know what property you own.
Right. So you don't actually have to know, I've got exactly, you know, $321,415.16 in this account. You just have to know generally what's going on in your life and that you have these accounts and maybe the approximate kind of values.
Exactly. You don't need to know exact numbers. The fourth component is understand what powers are being granted. Are you granting just a blanket all powers even before I become incapacitated or unable to make my own decisions? Or are you granting specific powers, which the state of Washington allows you to do as well?
Right. Well, that's a good point, because you may say, you know, I don't want someone to have the authority to sell my house. I just don't want that. You have to go to a guardianship maybe to do that. Mm-hmm. But I do want someone to be able to pay my bills, or I want someone to be able to make those health care decisions. You can tailor it clearly, or you can make it very general. I always kid people and say that we're going to add a clause in there that allows someone to remove and replace your kitchen sink.
Right, absolutely. and personally, I have more of issues with the financial and property side. When it comes to the healthcare decisions, they usually have a loved one, a very trusted individual, either typically it's either a significant other spouse or their favorite child, I mean, bottom line, or maybe grandchild making those healthcare decisions. And that's like pull the plug if I'm on a respirator or some type of machine that's keeping me alive. Or secondly, take away my hydration, either in the form of nutrition or water.
Okay. The vegetative state situation maybe that Terry Schiavo was in out of Florida a few years ago, and whether we should withdraw nutrition and hydration. And that was the big issue, because she had not signed a so-called living will or health care directive.
Right.
Good point.
The health care directive to physicians called a living will. Yeah. Do not confuse that with a living trust.
Right.
But
a will.
Or a will.
Why do we call them that? I don't know. We come up with these. Lawyers are so good at that. We come up with stuff that's so close to something else that it creates confusion. Oh, I get it. That's a good thing, right, for lawyers. Oh, no.
Well, you're the one who's been practicing for 35 years. I've only been practicing for about 19, 20 years. You got that extra experience.
Yeah, we want to create lots of confusion. No, we don't. We want to try to make things easier. And it is really hard, though, I think, to think about. And it's hard for someone, don't you think, Hal, sometimes to think about appointing somebody, because they don't really want to become incapacitated, number one. And they just are really reluctant to think about the issues and then to actually appoint someone with all that power.
Right. Procrastination is probably the number one problem. I was in the financial services industry also. I practiced law in California and Washington for up to 8 years, from 1994 through 2002. Then I took 10 years in the financial services industry, and 75% of my clients, 3 out of 4 couples or individuals I would meet with over the course of 10 years, did not have an estate plan. Yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's because of procrastination.
Right.
Or they're afraid of ticking off or upsetting someone in the family by naming one person as the primary AIF, attorney in fact.
Too.
So what I do with my documents is I have a primary, a secondary, or contingent.
Right.
And then I even have, in some cases, a tertiary or a third party. Because if somebody declines, say you have a primary that wants, say it's your son, and your son is, say, living in Europe or joins the Army, and he's unavailable, maybe the secondary is your daughter who lives right here in Puyallup.
Sure.
So having somebody as a secondary or tertiary individual to pick up the ball and run with it with a power of attorney is a very smart thing to include
so
in these
too.
Documents.
Sure, I agree. It's a great idea. Now, I've got to ask you, looking into your past, I happen to know that you're a graduate of West Point.
Oh, yes. I'm class of 84, United States Military
Academy.
Yeah,
I mean, to me, that's amazing. I mean, I can't imagine what you had to go through just to get in and then to survive the four years. I assume it's a four-year, as far as I know, four-year program.
Yes, it's a four-year program.
But I mean, what an accomplishment. So I know you're not going to volunteer that information, but I think that's pretty neat.
Well, thank you very much for bringing that up. I served between those two big wars in the 1980s. For those of you who can remember Grenada in October of 83, which lasted, I think, 3 days.
Right.
And then Panama in December of 1889 with Manuel Noriega, and that lasted about 2 days.
Yeah.
And then I got out, and I was in the first year of law school when Desert Storm started. And so pretty much everyone understands Desert Shield, which was 6 months prior to Desert Storm, the first Gulf War, with George Herbert Walker Bush, Bush 41, who was the president at the time.
Right. But anyway, I appreciate the work that she had to go through to
Then went to law school in San Diego, Thomas Jefferson.
And that was a breeze after West Point, right?
Oh yeah, San Diego, place to go to law school, second favorite town. But we moved up here in 1997, and just loved the Pacific Northwest. And with my 15-year-old son and 12-year-old daughter, we're moving forward.
That's great.
Just love practicing law up here. There's so much benefit to talk about here today with the RCWs and the powers of attorney.
All kinds of fun stuff. Now, if someone wants to get hold of you, is it okay if we give out your number?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I've got 425-577-4686. See, I've said it, so if it's wrong, now we're in trouble.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Hey, I got
425-577-4686. Or you can just see me. You can get me up on the internet at www.prukoplaw.com, and Prukop spelled P-R-U-K-O-P, as in Papa or Pirates.
That's terrific. Well, hopefully you'll come join us on another segment of Legal Line in the future, and talk about maybe some other topics too. But we really appreciate your stopping by with the tips on the powers of attorney.
And getting back to your, you've been practicing for so many years, Bob. Do you separate out your durable powers of attorney, or do you just typically have one general DPA?
It's a combination, but I generally like the idea of having a durable general power of attorney and then separately the healthcare power of attorney. And a lot of times they are different people. I mean, that's true. People will pick on someone else to do the health care. One of the kids is great for health care, another one great on finances. And so it depends on the situation, but a lot of times we're doing two.
Okay.
Yep. And it isn't just to charge more.
And have you had any HIPAA issues in medical clinics or hospitals?
You know, HIPAA
with
is,
either your health care directive to physician or your durable power of attorney for health care.
That's the privacy issues that we all face. And if you go to the doctor anymore, you'll see you'll have to sign a privacy form, and it relates to HIPAA, H-I-P-A-A. What is it? Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. I don't know where they come up with this stuff, but that has to do with privacy. And so you want to make sure you're authorizing somebody to obtain your protected health information. So I do see HIPAA issues come up in the healthcare area, but also if you're dealing with a financial power of attorney, but they're trying to deal with a medical bill, well, they have to be covered under HIPAA in order to get the information to pay the bill or to even get a copy of the bill. So that's a good point. Very important that if you've got older powers of attorney that do not have the HIPAA privacy provisions, wouldn't you recommend, Hal, that people go in and update them?
Yes, absolutely. And when you have that power of attorney or AIF, I just heard this from another professional earlier this week, have your child sign as, say, Hal Prukop, POA or AIF, because you don't want to have that personal liability or that personal bill coming back to you.
Good point.
Okay, you're signing as the power of attorney based on the particular document.
Well, that's a very good point. So if I'm your attorney, in fact, I'm going to actually sign Hal Prukop, and then underneath that I'm going to sign my name, and then I'm going to say his attorney in fact or something like that to indicate that I'm signing Hal's name as his agent or attorney, in fact, and then I won't have personal liability for what it is I just signed. That's a very good point. Good tip. Well, so there's a great tip. We'll come up with some more tips on a future segment, too.
Thank you, Bob, very much for having me on your Bobcast today. I appreciate it, and I hope we can hook this up again sometime in the future.
We're going to be doing more Bobcasts as time goes on, and It's terrible. We just, it just made so much sense to call him Bobcast. I don't know where we came up with that.
It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate that very much, Hal. We're going to take a short break, and when we continue, we're going to close out the session today with Lisa Doyle from K-Care. So hang on. We'll be right back.